Mr. Greenhouse, you're the one. Whereabouts were you born, please?
In Manchester, in the centre of Manchester, and Coates.
This was in 1914, I think.
1914, yes.
What did your father do for a living?
He was a cobbler, or rather a clogger.
What's the difference?
Oh, the clogger is the man who used to make the working men's clogs. He had he cut the pieces of wood on and made clogs to measure for. Everybody wore clogs in those days.
Was he self-employed?
Yes, he was self-employed.
Was he prosperous or struggling?
Very, very poor.
And did you go to school in Ancoats?
I went to the local school, Holland Street School, and when I was 10 and a half, I passed an examination at the 11 plus. Went first of all to a Jewish central school, but then I was transferred from there to a grammar school. Not the Manchester Grammar School, but a new grammar school which had been formed in Manchester, called the North Manchester Grammar School.
Do you come from a Jewish family?
No, it just happened that this area where I lived was predominantly Jewish. Well, it was Jewish, Italian, and, it was the central slum of Manchester.
Were your family interested in religion, or...?
No, not at all. It just happened to be that I was the only member of the family who had been given the opportunity of taking a little bit more education than were given. I won the scholarship, and then there was a sort of family conference as to whether they could let me go, because most of them had gone to work at 12, 13. And the condition of the scholarship was that I had to remain at school until I was 16. And as things, my father had died, and we were very, very poor. We were living on sort of public assistance as it was then. But eventually I did go to the grammar school. I left school with a matriculation certificate when I was 16.
Were your family interested in politics?
No. When I became interested in politics, when I became involved in politics, they all rallied round and all took part in it.
How do you mean?
Well, first of all, when I was, it was, my interest in politics stemmed just before the Spanish Civil War. And it was purely local politics because of the poverty and everything nearby. And I joined the Young Communist League and was incidental in starting a youth club in the area, which was the first time that it had ever been done in this particular area, you see. And I had six sisters and two brothers. The elder sisters were both married, but the other sisters were still at home. One brother, my young brother, he was a regular soldier in the Lancashire Fusiliers. My elder brother, he had started work when he was 11, went away to work on a farm, and used to come home at weekends, and although we were a very big family, we only had two bedroom house, so it was a vastly overcrowded, very much a very poor family house.
How did you get in touch with the YCL in the first place?
I just happened to be, in the first place, I used to, the craze in those days was hiking in the Derbyshire Hills, if you remember. And I got caught up in the Kinder Trespass. I was one of those who went on the Kinder Trespass. I don't know whether you know about the Kinder Trespass.
Yes.
And there I met these young communists and became interested in what they were doing.
How did you get mixed up in the
Kinder trespass? Well, we used to go hiking, and of course there's a very famous walk from Manchester which went round Kinder Scout, but we were never allowed to go up onto the Kinder Scout. And then every year in the Winnetts Pass, the Ramblers Association or the Ramblers Federation would have a meeting, a protest meeting, to protest about the fact that we were not allowed to go onto these areas, which were, as far as we're concerned, just wild country. We used once a year, today, incidentally, on the glorious 12th, and that was the only time they were ever used. And if we wanted to go on, which we did, we had to be very careful, making sure that nobody saw us going on and nobody saw us coming off and so on, you see. And in those days, there was quite a lot of sort of rivalry between the groups of hikers, especially the men, the boys of my age. And we used to have one which was an unofficial record from Marsden through to Edale, which is a straight line across the map. Marsden, Edale, then Marsden to the Dove Valley. And we used to try and do this in a straight line over a weekend, which meant, of course, crossing Bleaklow and crossing Kinder Scout and trespassing across some of the dales and so on. And, of course, unofficially, you know, we all got together and organised these sort of things. And then, of course, while we're all meeting in Winnetts Pass, leaflets were being distributed about a mass trespass, and I got myself involved in the organisation of this. And then I learned that these were all young Communist League people who were doing this, mainly Jewish. And I went along to a meeting. I liked what I heard and signed a piece of paper that was on one of the seats. And eventually got a note to say to go to along to a certain place, and there was a meeting place of the Communist Party. There was no Young Communist League, but I felt that we could do more, and by sort of enthusing the other members, we eventually formed quite a respectable youth club. Not necessarily a young communist youth club, but a youth club which had an emphasis on political work. And then, of course, it wasn't long after that that the Spanish War started.
Where and when was this meeting where you signed the form?
This was at the Free Trade Hall in Manchester.
Do you know when?
It must have been 34, 35, something like that. Incidentally, the man who addressed the meeting, the one who inspired me, was George Brown, who was the Manchester District Secretary, and he was killed on the Brunetti Battle.
Coming back to the Kinder trespass, are there any incidents that you can recount that you took part in or witnessed during that trespass?
Oh, well, I actually took place in the trespass. We marched up Williams Clough, which is a steep stream valley. And when you get to the top, there is, the area where it's flat and it's simply bog. The water runs from two directions there, you see.
A watershed.
This is a watershed, yes. This was a watershed. And rising steeply from the watershed, rising about 500 feet, is the beginning of Kinder Scout. This area is now part of the Pennine Way, this particular pass across the watershed and across the Featherbed Moss, as they call it. And we all went in a very big demonstration. There must have been several thousand hikers on that day, marched up and onto the watershed, and then stretched across in a long line, sort of guarding Kinder Scout, was a line of gamekeepers. And the leader was a man named Coyne. He sort of had a little speech, and then, right, let's go. And about 15 or 20 of us dodged the gamekeepers, climbed up onto Kinder Scout, and then had a sort of victory shout and parade from the top and so on. We waited a while, and then another group which had come from Sheffield, they joined us. And we just thought, you know, we've done a good job today and everything's passed off quite peaceably. And we started to come down. Again, we had to dodge the gamekeepers, but one of Cohen, who two gamekeepers went for him, he pushed one of them on one side and got away. Then we all marched triumphantly back into Hayfield. But the road into Hayfield is a narrow road with a river on one side and a quarry on the other side. We'd met in the quarry to start with, and I had the meeting in the quarry. But as we reached the quarry, there was a police cordon thrown across the road, and the police went through, and they picked out the five leaders and arrested them, took them off to Derby.
Was there any violence?
There was no violence of any kind, none whatsoever. That, as I say, one of the gamekeepers tried to stop Cohen, but he just pushed him on one side, and everybody was happy and singing, you know. So that was that. Unfortunately, when the five were brought to trial, one of them was sentenced to 6 months imprisonment. The others were given very, very small fines for trespass. He was charged with assault and battery and all sorts of things. But you know, it was complete fabrication. There was definitely no violence.
What was the demeanour of the gamekeepers?
Well, the gamekeepers were simply doing their job, you know, and of course there was always animosity between the hikers and the gamekeepers, because they thought that we were spoiling the, taking their jobs away from them, insofar as they were, you know, the area was used for shooting, and they always claimed that we disturbed the birds and so on.
Did you?
But it wasn't really, you know, it wasn't a good game reserve of any kind. It was just a mountain top. It was never really, having seen the Scottish game reserves, you know, Kinder Scout was nothing like that at all.
How was it so different?
It was just allowed to run wild. There was no attempt whatsoever to foster the game. They were only grey grouse anyway, you know.
So you mean before the Kinder trespass you had run into trouble from gamekeepers, had you?
Well, yes, we had been chased off.
With guns?
Oh, no, just sticks, you know, and it's quite easy. I mean, Kinder Scout is like a tableland, you know, and there's places all the way down where you can get down without any problems. It's not difficult to get up there. And the footpath down into the area round Edale, it was quite a famous place. People used to go up there quite on, you know, without any problems.
Were you part of the group that got up to the top and
yes,
shouted?
That's right, yes, I was part of that. There was only, say, 15 or 20 of us, you know.
So you were how old then?
How old would I be? 20? Probably 20, 21. I've got the every year there is a re-celebration of it, you know, and I could show you the actual copy of the front page of the local paper which reported this.
So was it a jolly event or a grim one?
It wasn't grim at all. It was more, you know, really fun. You know, everybody was very happy and singing and shouting. We've won a victory. We'd been on to Kinder Scout, and they hadn't. And then, of course, when the police came, you know, I mean, it was a different matter. But even then, it didn't seem serious. They just, you know, they just moved in. And they had one or two of these gamekeepers with them. Because while we'd been up on the top, they'd been preparing for our reception. At a, you know, in this very road where there was no way in which we could get away.
So were the gamekeepers there to identify people?
To identify people, yes. And there was five of them were arrested.
Were they put into Black Marais?
Oh yes, they were taken away to Derby. And they kept there overnight.
Was there some kind of campaign afterwards about the sentence?
Oh, there was always a campaign afterwards, and it was as a result of this that the Labour government promised that they would make the access to Mountain Bill its first priority whenever, as soon as they got power. And of course they did that as soon as the war was over. The access to Mountain Bill was the actual direct result of the trespass.
Now, which branch of the Communist Party were you in?
This is Miles Platting.
Miles?
Miles Platting. This is Manchester.
And who was the secretary of that?
Well, there was no secretary of the branch. It was very, very small. We were, I should imagine, we were 12, 15 people only.
Why was it so small?
Communist Party branches have never been very big. I've never been in a Communist Party branch which is more than a dozen. Or I've never seen one which is more than a dozen or 15. Except, of course, that, as I say, our YCL branch established a youth club, which was not, we didn't, we had members of the youth club. And we used to call them challenge clubs because in those days the young communist paper was called Challenge. And I took my inspiration from the fact that in Cheetham Hill was a challenge club which was very big with 300-400 members. The Cheetham Hill being the Jewish area. And we did the same, you know. We used to... we hired a sort of place which had over the top of a coal yard. You know, in those days, people bought coal from the coal yard. And over the top of this coal yard was a shed, as it were, which had once been used as a poster artist's studio. And when he moved out, we managed to get this for about 4 shillings a week. And in this area was lots and lots of demolition of housing. It was all being demolished and ready for building of the flats. And so we begged from the men who were doing the demolishing all the floorboards that were in there, and we made a sort of dance floor. Amongst our members we had 3 amateur musicians who would play on Saturday and Sunday night for dancing, and we would charge taverns to come in and have a dance. And then of course there was always the propaganda that we were having around the place.
What form did that take?
Oh, simply in the form of whatever, anti-war. Anti-war was the main activity in those days. The Youth Peace Council was active and so on. And then, of course, when the Spanish Civil War took place, then it was a different matter. Then it was arms for Spain.
How easy or difficult did you find it to influence politically the young people who came to the youth club?
Oh, we didn't have very much success, as far as you know. We didn't get a lot of recruits. We did get very dedicated young people came and joined. When I tell you that of the 12 or 14 members of the YCL, every member went to Spain and fought in Spain. You know, they, quite a number were killed in Spain, and especially in the Jarama battle.
It was
very, very, decisive battle as far as the international rebellion. 200 and odd British were killed in that battle.
But did you get young local people who just came for the fun rather than the politics?
A lot of them came for the fun. We also organised children's camps, taking children. First of all, we started taking children away for the weekend. We found a friendly farmer who would let us use his field and so on. This is where my sisters came in. They all helped in taking these children away. Some of the children never been out into the country, and one of my sisters was used to go hiking with me all the time, and because we had got so much pleasure out of being in the country, we thought the children could do the same, you know, they could just get the pleasure out of it. And from North Manchester, we're only a tram ride away from the Pennines, you see. And so it wasn't as though we had to go very far to do this sort of thing. We might just take them to the local station, two stations further on, and get out. And there we were in Bacup and Burnley and places like that, you see. Oldham was not very far away, because Ancoats, where I lived, was on the Oldham Road, just, you know, I mean, we could walk, when I was a child, we could walk into the Pennines on the school holidays. Take us all day, but we could do it.
Who was the head of the Challenge Club?
The strange thing was, we didn't have any sort of officership at all. We were just a crowd of young people trying to do these sort of things. Of course, we got help from the Manchester District Committee. I was, anything I wanted, I could pop into, this was in Fountain Street, Manchester, and I could pop into the offices there. George Brown was the Manchester District Secretary. He was a full-paid worker. And Bill Rust was the Lancashire District Secretary.
Was the YCL membership all boys, or were there any girls?
Oh, there were girls as well. We had an equal number, boys and girls. We had quite a respectable number of girls. I would say that we were 15 to 20, including, you know, all these girls as well.
Was there any anti-Muslimite activity?
Oh, very much so. This was there was one famous incident I remember very well. In the area where we had our club, there was a public hall known as the Chernet Street Hall. And Mosley was holding a meeting in the Chernet Street Hall. Now, I just said that this area was being demolished, but because it was so bug-ridden, before they could demolish it, the demolishers would not go in those houses until it had been gassed. So the buildings were emptied, then they were sealed, and big posters put outside, keep out poison gas. And then they would gas the buildings inside for a couple of days, and then they would go in and demolish them. Now, when Mosley was coming to Chernet Street Hall, we went and we stole a lot of these posters, keep out poison gas. And we plastered Chernet Street Hall with the posters, keep out poison gas. And the local police came out to clean the place up and chase us away. They chased me for a long, long time, but they never caught up with me.
Was there any violence between the CP and the Mosley Act?
When the Mosley had a meeting at the Manchester Free Trade Hall, don't know whether you know Manchester Free Trade Hall, but it's a very old building, and the stairs are stone stairs going up to the balconies. And I and another member of the YCL went up there, and we heckled, and immediately we were grabbed, dragged down these stone stairs and thrown out into the police, and the police put us in the Black Maria and took us away, and they let us out when we were away from the building.
Were you injured?
Well, only insofar as, you know, it wasn't very pleasant being bumped down the stairs, you know, these stone stairs, and thrown into. The police seemed to be very, very sympathetic towards them in those days.
Towards the Muslims?
Towards the Bolshevites, yes.
How did you know that?
Well, we were able to see uniformed policemen using the Mosleyite club that was in Manchester. You know, not going in there for to inspect the place, but going in there off duty, sort of thing.
Which years were these that you did the anti-Mosleyite activity?
The 35, 36.
Any other activity you recollect in the YCL?
With the starting of Challenge, and we used to, on plot fields, we used to run a sports day, an annual sports day. We used to call it the British Workers Sports Association. And we would run it like an Olympic thing, you know. Incidentally, the BWSF, which was a national thing, had a workers' Olympic in Spain just in 1936, as the Franco's rebellion started in July in Barcelona.
How many of you turned up to your local sports?
A local one. We would get quite a few, you know, several thousand would turn up, and it would be a very big day over the, or rather big 2 days in Platt Fields in Manchester.
Did you enter for it?
No, I was never sported. My funny thing, strange thing, I was the only member of the family who was not sporting. My father was a professional footballer. He played for Oldham Athletic, he played for Bolton Wanderers. Somewhere upstairs I have a Lancashire Cup medal. My elder brother was a boxer. And my younger brother was a champion all-round athlete in his unit in the army.
Were you well educated in Marxist theory?
Never. Before I went to Spain, I don't think I'd ever... I mean, it is true that at the meetings we had in this place, like this courtyard place, our own headquarters sort of thing, we had one man who used to try to lecture at this in Marxism. Because this was at the time of the Seventh World Congress with Dimitrov, and we were trying to study Dimitrov's report to the Seventh World Congress. But it was very solitary, you know. I mean, it was only a case of... my particular impression of the place. When I got this note to say to go and meet these people and join this, you know, after I'd made an application to join the Communist Party, I went to this place, which was very, very run down and so on. But as I went and up the stairs to this room over the courtyard, this big sort of bare room, there was a blackboard. And written on the blackboard was Bridge Tonight. And being a bit of a snob, oh, this is good. Bridge, they'll teach me how to do bridge, you know, how to play bridge. And this, of course, to me, from my own working class background, was really super, you see. What I didn't know, that Bridge Tonight meant that we're going out with whitewash and we were painting the slogan, Fascism Means War, on the bridge.